The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. It's an honor to be here today to worship God with you, to reflect on Holy Scripture with you. I'm Chantal McKinney, the founding pastor of Christ's Beloved Community, Comunidad Amada de Cristo, which is a congregation under development that is both Lutheran and Episcopal in Southside, Winston-Salem. I'm grateful to be here today. I've been asked to come and share some of what we're doing to build up a new church just a few minutes away from here. I also want to take a minute to celebrate and give thanks for our partnership together. We give thanks that Emily Norris will be joining us as our intern. She'll be sharing her internship with Augsburg and Christ's Beloved Community beginning in March. And of course, we're also here to celebrate women in ministry this Sunday. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here today. Today and throughout the season of Epiphany, the Gospel of Mark calls us to reflect on the very early part of Jesus' ministry. He had just been baptized. He overcame temptation in the desert. He found some ragtag fishermen to follow him to fish for people. And the next thing you know, Jesus comes face to face with an unclean spirit. Some translations use the word demon. And isn't that like life in some circumstances? We think we're on the right path, doing the right thing. Things seem to be going well, and then bam, obstacles, challenging relationships, temptations. As followers of Jesus today, let us go deep into the scripture to see how Jesus dealt with these challenges. How was his manner? What did he do? And how can we learn from him to deal with our own personal demons, the unclean spirits of today that affect a family, a neighborhood, a country, or a church? Here in the beginning of the gospel, it says that the new followers of Jesus, those ragtag fishermen, were astounded to see that Jesus taught as one having personal authority. Rather than Jesus quoting the scribes of the day, he spoke his wisdom based on his own connection to God. Jesus had confidence in his own interpretation of Scripture and how God was moving him to speak. When we rely only on others to tell us what God thinks, we take away our own power and we don't listen to what God is saying to us. Jesus taught with personal authority despite not being a scribe. As followers of Jesus, we should follow that model. Let's not be a passive follower, but an active follower, trusting the way that God works within us and speaks in our hearts while remaining grounded in biblical teachings and the wisdom of the wider church. So it's with this same confidence that Jesus identifies an unclean spirit or a demon. Back then, simply knowing who a demon was and identifying them as such meant that you had power over them. And isn't that the same today? We have to be able to name and identify a demon like racism before we can attempt to overcome it. We have to be able to make space to listen to women in order to identify the ways that women are treated differently before we can come to a place where women are empowered to live fully into the lives that God calls for us in the workplace, in the church, and in the home. Knowing and identifying the demons of the day was the first step to overcoming them. That is still certainly true today. When Jesus cast out that demon, he did so with personal authority, trusting the power of God working in him and doing so without care or concern of what others thought of him. The thing about unclean spirits or demons is that they keep people from living life to their fullest potential. A demon sucks out the energy, the wholeness of life in someone. A demon takes away health, wellness, and confidence and prevents a person from thriving. Obviously, in our day, we don't commonly use the notion that a demon takes over a person. However, the notion of an unclean spirit that affects a person or people is relevant because we can learn from what Jesus did to cast the unclean spirit out and restore health and wholeness. Listen, God's Holy Spirit has been moving in the world lately. And today, people are increasingly seeing the ways that huge segments of our society are prevented from thriving in the same way as other segments of our society. Are we awake enough in the church to make the connections, to name them, and to work towards a better way? As followers of Christ, let us be on the front lines of naming and identifying with the authority of God, naming what keeps people from thriving, from living the life that God intends. So what are the unclean spirits or demons that keep people from living their life to the fullest in God? What can we do as the church to cast them out? I just finished reading the book Hillbilly Elegy, A Memoir of a Family and Culture in Crisis by J.D. Vance, where he takes the reader on a journey to see the demons of rural America, drug use, poverty, early pregnancy. And he describes how it prevents people from living life to their fullest potential. This book is firmly situated in white rural America. Yet the entire time I was reading it, I saw profound comparisons to Southside Winston-Salem, an area incredibly rich in diversity and community assets, yet facing the exact same demons of drug use, poverty, and early pregnancy, according to recent population statistics. At Christ's Beloved Community, we are called to create a new church with our neighbors that is both Lutheran and Episcopal, multicultural and bilingual, reflecting the gifts of our neighborhood and actively working to bless the neighborhood. And dare I say it, to name and work toward casting out the demons that we see that affect people's everyday lives: food insecurity, crime, drug use, poverty. Jesus shows us that simply by naming and identifying the demons, they are cast out. One day, about a year ago, our core leadership team, who will one day become our council, we had a night meeting at the church. And so for those of you that don't know, we are permanently located at Christ Lutheran on South Main Street, which is a church that you all helped to create a few decades ago. Well, our night meetings often coincide with NA meetings, Narcotics Anonymous. One day, one of our leaders needed to leave the meeting early. It was already dark outside. He left, but about 10 minutes later, he came back into the meeting with a young woman at his side. She had been waiting outside for the NA meeting to start. She came into us, and she was shaking. Literally, her arms were like this. visibly shaking. She had just left rehab that day, and she was trying so hard to overcome a very strong drug addiction. This was her first time going to an NA meeting outside of rehab, and she was a mess. We could see her fragility. We could see that she was visibly battling a demon, and she was feeling weak. She said to us, "I'm sorry to interrupt." And we said to her, "You are no interruption. You're why we're here. Let's pray together." So we bowed our heads, and whatever words came out of my mouth were the words that God gave me. We prayed for her to find strength in God to battle this demon, to save her own life. We prayed for her confidence in God, for confidence in her own strength, for the ability to take life one sober day at a time. It felt like the closest I'll ever come to an exorcism. We poured our love and energy into this young woman with blonde and purple hair. We looked her in the eye and said, "You can come to us anytime for prayer, and we'll keep praying for you." And then I said my own private prayer. I pray that I would see her again and again. I pray that she would live to beat this demon. I knew that this was life and death for her. After that prayer, our group said to one another, "Let's always remember that this is why we're here." And we hoped that minding the business affairs of the church would never become more important than serving the people that are on their knees and suffering, longing to find strength in God and one another to pull themselves up. Over a year later, we still have night meetings. NA still meets right outside of our building, a ragtag group of folk chain smoking, trying hard to fight their demons. And it brings me so much joy to walk outside a year later and see the young lady with blonde and purple hair. My eyes lock with hers. We give each other a knowing smile, and I ask how she's doing. "I'm good," she'll say, "one day at a time." God is actively answering my prayers, her prayers, our prayers. We don't often use words like unclean spirits and demons in polite society, but the reality is, for a lot of people, for ragtag fishermen, for the people waiting for an NA meeting or an AA meeting to start, for the millions of people that know what the societal demons of racism and sexism feel like because they've experienced it, demons are real. And today, Holy Scripture tells us, and we are here to proclaim, that God is stronger, that Jesus Christ can heal and overcome any sickness in our society, any imbalance in our world, any hurt, any shame, any demon. And the work of the church is to connect with God and to use our authority to do whatever humble things we can to cast out demons in our midst. There are demons in our larger society that affect not only individuals, but all of us collectively. In Southside, our neighborhood is affected by an increase in shootings, violence, crime, poverty, not to mention the weariness and wariness of people who daily experience racism and classism. And yet here on this side of town, well, you can probably name your own demons just fine, but an obvious demon is the pull to do too much. We have stressed out kids, an overly competitive culture, a longing for balance, a longing for rest. And everywhere, everywhere, there is a longing for women's stories to be heard and believed, and for change to take place in our society, so that all of us have the equal opportunity to thrive and live balanced lives so that we can all reach our potential in Christ. So let us follow Jesus today and name the demons that stunt our potential. Church, let us name that which keeps us, each and every person, from being the hands and feet of God in the world. Naming and casting out with the confidence of our personal authority in Christ is the first step to living into this Holy Scripture today. We are all interconnected. We are all sisters and brothers in Jesus Christ. So what happens to one of us happens to all of us. And it is with our collective listening and our working together and partnering together that we will continue to create with God and restore with God the reign of God in our land. And if we lack confidence, if we lack the sure decisiveness and personal authority that Jesus Christ himself had, then let us all remember, we worship a God that beat death. We worship a God that overcame the greatest suffering, the greatest of hardships, and he arose from an empty tomb so that we might all experience that wholeness and profound freedom in Christ. It's already happened. We have nothing to lose by following his path. Amen.